Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You know, Christmas is that time of the year when we sing more intentionally and more exuberantly and even more joyously. And I love the fact that the piece of music and performance that our worship team chose was called Song of Joy, because Christmas is that time of the year when we sing so joyously. It's also that time of the year when I love to sing the traditional hymns of the faith, and I know you do as well. I can never get enough of O Holy Night and Away in a Manger, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Silent Night. My personal favorite is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, but no, not really. We don't want that to happen to Grandma, but as of the late 20th century, Joy to the World was the most published Christmas hymn in North America. But did you know that Joy to the World was not originally written as a Christmas hymn? In fact, an Englishman named Isaac Watts penned the words in 1719 based on the second half of Psalm chapter 98. Psalm chapter 98 focuses on the triumphant return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. Thus, Joy to the World is really about his second advent, his second arrival, not his first. The nations celebrate with exuberant joy, as does all of nature in Psalm chapter 98, because God faithfully brings salvation to the world through the house of Israel. And that was the original inspiration for Joy to the World, but this passage of Scripture encourages us to kind of leave our gloomies behind during the Christmas season and come into the presence of the great King and Judge of all the earth. In 1839, Lowell Manson adapted and arranged Isaac Watts' lyrics to an older melody that many believe was written by George Frederick Handel of Handel's Messiah. Along the way, Joy to the World became a favorite of those celebrating the first advent or arrival of Jesus Christ, and rightly so. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Good news that brings great joy. We need some of that good news today, don't we? We are a news-saturated culture, 24-hour news, you know, social media, news coming our way. We need some good news that brings great joy. And nobody is excluded from this offer. Did you read what the angel said carefully? It's for all the people. And that's what Christmas is all about. C.S. Lewis wrote an autobiography called Surprised by Joy. The book describes his journey from atheism to theism and eventually to a robust faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy was the best word that Lewis could land upon to describe how God alone fulfilled the deep longing in his heart. Lewis said in that autobiography, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Think about that. The serious business of heaven is joy. Joy is, heaven is in the joy business. And Lewis found that out personally. He certainly had in mind his own joyful experience when he came to faith in Christ. He experienced joy in a way that he had never experienced before. You see, happiness is dependent upon what's happening around you. And too many people are in the pursuit of happiness when what's available to us at Christmas is real joy that doesn't depend on what's happening. It transcends our circumstances. Lewis might have also thought of a story Jesus told about a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. He left behind the 99 other sheep and went looking for his one lost sheep. And when he found that one lost sheep, the shepherd called together his friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And that's when Jesus drove home the point of the parable in Luke chapter 15, when he says, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And it's no wonder that the angels 2,000 years ago on that hillside overlooking Bethlehem sang with exuberant joy when making Jesus' birth announcement. They knew that it meant party time in heaven, because whenever one sinner repents because of what the Christ child will grow up and do, the angels of heaven throw a joyous party. According to the angels of heaven, if you go back to the Christmas story, not only is joy the serious business of heaven, but so is the glory of God. In fact, if you read on a little bit further, it says that an angel, singular, verse 10, said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then he goes on to, you know, state that iconic, you know, Christmas card verse that we put on our cards, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13 says, "And suddenly," can you imagine the suddenness of this as the shepherds were on their fields, "suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying." I just pause there for a moment and wonder, how many is a multitude? I don't know, but there were a lot of them. The choir, the angelic choir showed up. The announcement started with one angel saying, "Fear not, I've got some good news for you guys. Good news of great joy." And don't miss the fact that the good news of great joy that was for all the people came to the shepherds first and not to the religious or political elite in Jerusalem. Kind of one of the surprises of Christmas. But as soon as the announcement was made, the angelic choir came from heaven, a multitude. Later in the book of Revelation, we're told that myriads and myriads of angels surround the throne room of God, singing praises to him. How many is a myriad? I don't know. It's a number that we can't even fathom to count. Maybe it's more than a multitude, and a multitude is certainly more than one. But a multitude of angels showed up, and they sang, listen to this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Again, according to the angels of heaven, the glory of God is also the serious business of heaven. Catherine and I were in Washington, D.C. Friday and Saturday. We got back last night, and we had a Christmas party to attend, and we attended the Air Force Christmas concert at the Dar Constitution Hall, just adjacent to the White House there. And we just enjoy some friendships and relationships that we had in D.C. for many, many years, and enjoy going back this time of the year. One of the other things that we remember about the Washington, D.C. area was a little restaurant we used to like to attend. It's just a burger joint and kind of a sports-related restaurant called Glory Days. Yes, you've been to Glory Days. All right, great burgers at Glory Days. And their motto is, "There are days and there are glory days," you know, and they're appealing to all the washed up athletes, you know, former high school athletes like me. They also encourage their patrons to, they say, "Tell us your glory story," you know, and you're supposed to go online, you know, and go back to those high school days, you know, when you were throwing football touchdowns or whatever it was you were doing, tumbling like a gymnast. "Tell us your glory story." I love that turn of phrase. You know, they ask you, do you have any glory stories? Well, there's only one glory story that is really worth noting, and that's the glory story of Christmas, when the angels came and sang, "Glory to God in the highest." You know, the word glory appears frequently in the scriptures, 194 times in the Old Testament and 161 times in the New Testament, to be exact, not including the many variations of the verb to glorify. I mean, it's all over the scriptures, the glory of God is. The Hebrew word for glory means heavy or weighted. Some of you might have grown up in the 1960s and you used a phrase, "That's heavy, man, that's heavy." You know, well, if you did, you know something about the glory of God, because it means something that is heavy and profound and glorious. Christmas is the, or rather joy is the serious business of heaven. The glory of God, that which is serious and profound and heavy, is also the serious business of heaven. The dictionary defines glory as a very great praise, honor, or distinction bestowed by common consent. An athlete's glory days, for example, refers to how he or she performed with distinction on the athletic field, better than others who played the same game. Football players, for example, lay claim to gridiron glory, and some of them make it all the way to the Professional Football Hall of Fame, where their gridiron glory is put on display. Well, God's glory was put on display, believe it or not, in a little village called Bethlehem. Wasn't much 2,000 years ago. Even today, it's a walled city, okay? And you can go in and see Manger Square and the place where they believe Jesus was born. But it was back then far from, you know, the religious and political center of Jerusalem. But the glory of God came to that place. The glory of God is best defined as His majestic and manifest presence on display. It's the sum total of His divine nature, His attributes, His creative works. Think of it this way: the glory of God is that which makes Him the exclusive member of His own hall of fame. He is completely unique, distinct, and original. Jesus is His one and only Son, the Scripture says, and there is no other God like Him. Therefore, we should have no other gods before Him, and no wonder the angels of heaven showed up as a choir singing, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest." Joy is the serious business of heaven. The glory of God is the serious business of heaven. Good news is the serious business of heaven. And it's what Christmas is all about. Those three phrases: good news, great joy, the glory of God. Just let all that sink into your heart this Christmas in a fresh way, in a new way. And when you sing those songs of joy and those songs that bring glory and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, you're joining the chorus of angels who sang as well. And Zechariah, who sang a song, and Mary, who sang a song. And next time we'll look at Simeon, who sang a Christmas song as well, about the arrival of the Son of God, the promised Christ child, the Savior of the world. What a reason to sing and fill our hearts with joy this Christmas.